Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
I honestly grow insecure as I get older. Cause even when you hot, there comes a day when you get colder. Comes a day when you slower. Time is taking its toll. 45 on the back of the jersey upon your soul. I'm scared of letting go. I don't know what the future holds. My nightmares are having nightmares. I'm quite scared of what's right and fair. How I fare in eternity. Will I hear well done when he turned to me? Will I hear you care too much about all this stuff that really don't matter? You chase the wind and you want it. Got to the top of a 2-foot ladder. What's after? I can capture all this mess. My heart was after. Will I end up empty-handed when I stand before my master? Did I master the mathematics of a passive disaster? Adding my selfish ambition, all the while subtracting what matters.
Ain't no nights I can't sleep. Will I fall? Will I peek through the curtains all I see? Fingers pointed at me, and they watch it, and they watch it, and they watch it, and they watch it, and I'm wondering what they thinking, thinking about. Late nights I can't sleep, counting cash, counting cheese.
I remember a couple times I couldn't back that up. Like when I ran from them vatos, scuffing up my zapatos, scared of losing my hide. I was so embarrassed inside. If I could go back in time, I would stand and say something like, I ain't never scared, never scared, never scared. I'm lying, I'm scared of these thoughts in my head. I'm scared of possibly pushing people right over the ledge. When I say I pledge allegiance to the struggle, then I turn around and buckle under stress and under pressure. Fly below my dresser that could teach my pain a lesson, but I'd rather not address it. Address is in depression. I'm scared if I confess it that you gon' look at me like I'm something less, and I'm such a mess.
Celui qui a peur d'admettre ses craintes et celui qui ne pourra pas les surmonter. On trouve la liberté dans la confession et la liberté dans la reconnaissance.
And it just so happens I'm wrestling with my status. I'm trying to see me like he do, not focusing on his madness. They count me out on the counter, they fear and doubt. Keep a count of my wrongs, trying to keep me inside their house. Some just keep me around, gotta wonder what that's about. Yeah, they want to be politically correct, I suppose. But I'm comfortable in my skin while they just pretending they close. I'm scared of falling and failing in front of all of my foes. And I feel some friends are unfaithful, so I keep my small circle closed. I don't want no handouts or favors, no function, no favors. I'ma tell that truth till it kill me, and I'm chilling with my creator. Jesus, 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 Jesus to all of my haters. For the ones who think I forgot them and the ones who won't let me say it, I ain't getting no more.
その先に自由は存在し、恐怖は解き放たれる。
Rachel, and I wanted to reach out to you, man. I got a few things I was trying to straighten out for for 2013, man. You know how it is, everybody trying to get their New Year's rolling off right, you know what I'm saying?
Right. You a supervisor or something? I mean, is this about work or something? I mean, she doing a good job and everything. She ain't about to
No. Everything's straight, man. Ain't nothing wrong with the job. Everything's cool with the job. This right here, man, is like what I noticed, man, in 2012, you know, it just seems like every single day, you know, while she's on her lunch break, uh-huh. It seems like, you know, you would call and then block up the whole hour of her lunch break. And actually, you know, just be real, man, I'm just trying to come correct with you. It just seemed like you just cut in on all the time that I have with her.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
With my lady, son.
No, like I say, you know, we just spending time, you know, doing lunchtime, but it just seems so rude, you know, that...
Rude? You, okay, first of all, that's my lady, okay? I can call her whenever the I feel like calling her. That's, I pay for that phone bill. I bought that iPhone 5. I can get call whenever I please, all right? Secondly, you ain't got no business being with a married woman alone at lunch. This ain't no date. Y'all supposed to be at work.
No, we are at work. We co-workers, you know? It just seemed like half the whole time last year, I'm sitting in front of her, you know, we're supposed to be having lunch together, and she's talking to you the whole time.
What's your name again, bro?
My name's Derek.
Derek, all right. Derek, you work at the same building now? Okay, you at work right now, huh?
Yeah, I'm here at the job.
And y'all working the same flow, because I'm finna come see you. 2012 went one way, but it's 2013 is about to jump off way, way different for you. Straight up.
Okay, so, Doc, let me ask you something, man. What is the big deal? I'm just trying to, okay, you act like you don't see her. You act like you don't see her when she get home, you know? So why is it so important that you waste a whole hour of lunch time holding her down?
I'm talking to Molly, okay? You understand that? Why don't you go out there and get and then you ain't got to worry about sitting up in front of Molly. That's my wife. I walk down the aisle with that. We got kids. We got a house. We take care of this. She helped me hold it down in this. You ain't, you know, it's like you. It's, you don't ever want to come in and do what they got. They always want to come in and somebody else's wife. And why don't you do this? Take this advice and see what it works, how it works for you. Go to the club, church, library, grocery store, wherever the find your deck, and you get you a chick. You date her for a minute. You court her for a minute. You romance her for a minute. That's what real men do, you know what I'm saying? That's what I did. That's how I got my Rachel. That's my heart. You trying to sit up there in front of lunch with her every day for the past year? I tell you what, bro. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but soon, you're going to see me. Me and you going to have none of this phone conversation. This is going to be a face-to-face.
Hey, dude, hey, man, what? I ain't trying to come between y'all at all. Okay, like I'm saying, I'm not trying to come between y'all. I'm just saying it's every day you call it, man. What do you want?
Wife supposed to talk to every goddamn day. That's what a real do. You don't know about that because you you ain't no real. All you know about is trying to holler at some street. You don't know what it is to put in work like a real man do. To actually hold down a home, pay the bills, everything, the family, the kitchen, fixing the yards and fences and you don't know nothing about that. All you know about is being a roach. Wife can't even go to work without like you trying to step in her and don't mean no goddamn. But that's okay. Like you said, we're going to start 2013 off brand new. I promise you. I'm going to be there. You're going to see me and I'm going to see you. You know, I tell you what, this is how this gonna go. It may not be tonight, but it's definitely not gonna go past tomorrow. Between now and then, you gonna see me, and I'm gonna see you, and I can't.
Hold on. What'd you say?
Pardon me, it's gonna. I'm gonna come see you by tomorrow, son. Me and you, Derek. That's your name, right? Derek.
My name is Derek. Yeah.
I'm gonna. You gonna always wanna be both smiley face in my wife's face. I'm gonna feel Rachel when I see her. You can please believe that. Please believe that. Talk to her about her little friend at lunch and like that. How get my number anyway, man?
So I got your number out of Rachel's phone, but that's besides the point, man.
Phone my wife's phone, man. Y'all ain't that cool. I ain't never heard of no Darius before today. And all of a sudden, you calling me talking about you was at lunch every day with wife and you.
It's a friendly lunch date is what it is.
I know about how you do friendly. I know about all that. You ain't fooling me. I know like you who prey on married women all the time because they like you. But that, like I said, is going to change. Promise you.
Okay, Doug, here's what you don't know. What you don't know is this, is Tommy be pushing up on him more than me.
Tommy
is always pushing up on her.
What?
Tommy the one you need to be worried about.
Can you ask Tommy? Tommy any
dog. Nephew Tommy, man, check this out. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your wife Rachel got me to prank phone call you.
Y'all did this to me, man. Man, y'all finna come down and up for real. You alright, man? Man.
That's utterly, utterly ridiculous.
Let's have a discussion. Let's talk about something. Real talk radio. Ain't no funny. A church with our walls, a hot talk show. Real talk with the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it poppin'. Music got me hoppin'. Who you represent? Ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go. I'm in the zone. Can't get enough. Turn it
real
out.
Talk with Dr. Davenport.
Beautiful Tuesday, back live on the air here, BlogTalkRadio.com, live, Dr. D, Rook City. We started off with Lecrae. That's our theme song for the week. It's here. Then we went straight to Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show with one of the most realistic prank calls I think he's done. That's why so much wasn't funny, but interesting, to say the least. Well, good morning, Rook. I could not have been the recipient of that phone call.
No, sir.
That's too real, Doc. That's too close to home, man. You know, because you work with people 40 hours a week or so, and there are times you'll see them, people at work, more than your family. And so the possibility of connection, and don't have to be something, quote-unquote, illegal, you know, but you will build a camaraderie with your coworkers, you know, and you get to swapping stories and carrying on. Yeah, I couldn't do that, Doc. Even after that prank phone call, I just would be, you know, that would just bring it to the forefront of my mind. All right, I'll take the mic back then. Yep. So thanks for calling in and joining us for listening on this riveting edition of Dr. D. Yeah. We are going to do Ask Rook. Again, we know that you have pastors. We know that you have a multitude of great counselors, and you get wide wisdom. But maybe you need a different perspective. You got a life issue going on with you, or you're concerned about somebody you know, and you want to know how best to help them. You can dial 516-387-1299, 516-387-1299, and you can pose your problem to Rook City, and we'll get his expert analysis on the situation. Now, Rook, somebody's going to want to question your credentials. What makes you an expert?
And I'm going to tell you.
You went out, Doc. If you're talking, we can't hear you.
I said life is.
All we heard was life. You sound like you're in the hallway again or outside or doing something. Not the best connection.
Can you hear me?
Can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you say that. Yes.
I said, Doc.
That's what you.
But so I fell out.
Are you whispering? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm whispering.
I don't know, but you're very low. Can't really hear you.
This ain't late night with Dr. D. This ain't late night with Dr. D.
No, no, it isn't. No. And you would be talking alone late night with Dr. D anyway. No, sir.
What you doing, Doc? What you doing?
Right, right, right. This is Nephew Rook City. No, 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 no. So you can call in 516. Maybe Rook will get his voice together. 516-387-1299. And I promise you he will not give you advice in his late in the evening voice. Rook, I posted on social media, and it has to be a follow-up. I mean, it's still current. Last week we did almost a week-long show. We're going to do 4 shows a week. For 2 days last week, we discussed the South Carolina police officer flipping the girl over in the desk, and there was a number of opinions and some great commentary and feedback back and forth on the subject on the police officer going too far. There was some that could overlook what she did as an infraction, what she did wrong because of how it was handled. Very few people as far as commentary on this show, agree that they both could be wrong. What she did was wrong, and if she had not played her part, she would not have been subjected to all that attention and pain she received. And, of course, nobody but justified the officer who was subsequently fired. But, Rick, I brought it up because ever since that incident, social media has been flooded with videos taken by other students of kids acting out in school. One of the most popular ones is, and maybe you've seen it, there's a young man, he appears to be about 5'11", maybe 6 feet tall, with a red hoodie or sweater on, and he's absolutely terrorizing this woman teacher. And she's petrified, apparently. And it's like the class is in the room, and everybody's just watching, of course, recording what's going on. There is another another video that's going around where there was a young man who had his phone taken by his teacher and assaulted that guy. That student assaulted that teacher and actually was suplexed to the ground, slammed on the ground by the student, and didn't fight back. I was going to play that clip, but without the visual of it, it's kind of really hard to understand, so I chose not to do that. And there is yet a third one that's going around where, and it's entitled "Student Intimidates Teacher into Getting Better Grades." This guy, this student, is shown in the classroom kicking over chairs, tossing over desks, throwing trash cans, and then jumps himself on the teacher's desk and begins to jump up and down. Now, this is a high school student, or at least he appears to be high school size. He's jumping up and down on the teacher's desk demanding an A. My question, my issue, my real talk topic, what I want to discuss is the notion, it's just a couple of things. We all agree that the South Carolina police officer went too far. But let's take these videos that maybe some people see and maybe most haven't. But look on the internet, you'll find them. Let's put these together. Let's go back to South Carolina. There was a teacher in the room. The teacher was the one that initiated the discourse with the young lady. He told her to put her phone away. She wouldn't. He told her to get out. Now, I remember some commentary thinking and saying that this was a teacher who had no control. The teacher could not manage his class. Okay. The teacher escalates the issue by getting an administrator. The vice principal comes, tries to reason with the girl. We know the story. We've rehearsed it. We've read it. We've repeated it time and time again. The girl still wouldn't comply. So now the campus police officer comes in. Let's stop there. We know what happened from there. And some of these videos, Rook, you hear the teacher calling for help. You hear the teacher directing the student to go get help. While the student is just destroying the class And the one video with the red or tan, not tan, but burgundy hooded young man, not just him, but they're throwing, I don't know, candy or pennies at this woman, and she's just standing there. She's sitting there. You know, she's verbally directing them to stop and all of that. They come up, they take her purse under the desk, they take stuff off the desk. They do all type of things to her, and she does not respond physically. One teacher was interviewed and asked why, and the response was, well, teacher, if I put my hand on a student, I'll get in trouble. I could lose my job. And the kids know this, Rook. What's my point? My point is this. What can we do so that the students don't just take control of a class, everybody else in the room in danger, or police officers don't have to come in and slaying folk all over the room? What can we do to balance out this equation, man? That's my question. That's the dialogue we need to have.
You said, like, two things.
Knock you out again if you're talking.
Man, I'm trying to...
You're cutting in now. I don't know if you're in. I don't know if you're under water or in somebody's trunk or in a tree. Tree trunk, something. You might want to go outside, something. I hear you.
Can
yes,
you hear
now I hear you. Yes. I don't think Verizon would like you using their slogan, not using one of their phones. But go ahead.
No. Apple, that's what it is. iPhone, man. iPhone.
Don't even give me. That's why I wouldn't buy an iPhone, man, but that's another. That'd get 10,000 calls into the station of an iPhone. But yeah.
Yeah, I know. Love my Android.
What you were saying?
It's like a parenting.
Yep, you cut out again, Doc.
Man, it's about to irritate me.
Well, it's already irritating me.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right.
Now we can't hear if you still talk. Okay, you said something. Okay. You're talking now.
No, I didn't say
you're
nothing.
You're talking now.
Go ahead, Doc.
Well, how do we know? Well, this is going to be one side of 516-387-1299. My co-host needs to go outside or something, do something with herself. He's going to try to work that together. But we need to have a conversation about this because it goes back to my feeling that this whole school thing, of course, is black and white because it can't be anything but black and white. I think we got Rook back now. Rook, are you there?
Yes, Doc, can you hear me now?
Yes.
No, hold on. Lord. Oh, Lord. Uh-oh. Get out of here. All right. I had to change phones, Doc. Can you still hear me?
No, we got you. Yes.
All right, Doc. I said that would be a parenting issue, Doc. And it's like you can't tell nobody how to raise their kids. So I look at as kids going to schools, and that's the way of expressing themselves, Doc. They can't act out at home and their parents the way they want to. So they go to school and disrespect these teachers and be rude to their classmates. That's the only way they can express themselves. It ain't right. That's what they're doing.
So, Rook, I'm going to tell you something. Okay. You said that they can't disrespect their parents at home.
Right.
Okay, I don't know what that is. We're not playing that. I don't know what that is. You're saying that we can't. That is.
I can't get it off. My son had his crap playing on his phone earlier, man. Then he gave me his phone to use it. And when I hung up, that came on. And like I said, I'm an Android user, so I don't know how to work this iPhone. I'm pushing back and square. And I'm like, what's wrong with this music? I can't cut it off.
up, down, left, right, left, right.
Yeah, triangle. Not working.
Yeah, throw it against the wall. Better stop it.
Yeah,
you
like,
said that the students can't disrespect their parents at home, and so they go to school and disrespect everybody else. And I will submit to you, and I just believe this wholeheartedly, that kids who who are taught respect and things at home don't act out
don't
at school.
Act out, okay.
And I'm not saying they'll be perfect. You know, or they're not going to talk bad, but they, you know, but they're not going to go full tilt. You know, like these kids are going today. If because here's the thing, they're human beings, and their mind tells them, listen, I can't do this at home. I'm going to school, but I'm going to have to come back home, and this is going to get too big. It's going to follow me home, so I'm going to be in trouble. So yeah, they're the little things where they pretty much know what they can get away with without they getting back to the house. So I don't know if it is that they act out at school because they can't act at home. What are they expressing? You know?
Well,
and seriously, I'm going to go ahead. Because I feel a rant coming. So go ahead, Doc.
It's like, with me, Doc, I heard this guy tell me that I had to beat they smurf, Doc. I mean, I couldn't allow that, Doc. I wouldn't be getting my purse taken, paper thrown at me. I wouldn't allow that, Doc. At the end of the day, I'm still the authority figure. And I'm going to get control of my class one way or the other. Either everybody getting out, something's going to happen, Doc. I'm not going to say I'm going to walk around choking and slamming kids, but I'm going to get my point across that I'm not the one you're going to be doing this to. And if a child, I mean, if a teacher letting that happen, then they saying they ain't got no backbone. They pretty much comfortable with it. Which letting the kids say, okay, you
know
what?
I don't know if that's the case. What is this?
Okay, what is the teacher's chair? Scared of what? You got a whole school full of staff there with you. You not by yourself. It's called a team.
But maybe that's a problem. Maybe they're told, no incidents today. We're going to have a peaceful week or so whatever happens in your classroom, handle it. If I got to get involved in it, then I'm going to come after you. You know, that happens in the classroom.
What do we do?
That happens in schools. You know, listen, I want you to hear this. I want to play this clip from Dr. Julia Hart. She was a part of a think tank or a round table discussion for the Black Union. Speaking to Black families, Black relationships, spirituality, and the Black church. It was her. It was Tara Smiley was the one that moderated this thing. It was her. It was Minister Louis Farrakhan. It was Dr. Cornel West. It was some of the seemed to be the most touted or prolific leaders of the Black community. And this is what Dr. Julia here had to say.
The reason why we're so pleased to have the covenant, and this is the best part of our action plan, is to reclaim the minds of our children. They went into the Black homes now, the powers that be, and told us that you cannot discipline your children anymore, and if you discipline your children, you are going to jail. Is this kind of thing they told us? Then they went into the public schools and took discipline out of there. So when we acted up in there, they put our boys, our Black men, into something called special ed classes. And as you know, those special ed classes are nothing but holding cells until they can go to the state prison. But this is what they did. And then, the one thing that they knew, that if we can put them in prison, if we can have them convicted for a felony, then once they get out of prison, they cannot get a job because of that. They cannot get the job. And then if they happen to eke out and find a job, then they have to pay taxes on a job, yet they cannot vote, and I call that taxation without representation. That's what we're looking at. And if one of the things that we would learn to do, they did a grand thing when they took that discipline away from us, because when they made our parents afraid to discipline the children, then what happened? We found out that the teachers were afraid of the principals were scared of the superintendents, superintendent was scared of the school board was scared of the parents were scared of the children, and the children ain't scared of nobody.
That was Dr. Julia Hart. And I really believe that is the best assessment of what we're going through right now.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. Because I remember when I came up, Doc, it wasn't no throwing at the teachers. We got pedals, Doc. If it wasn't a pedal, it was a strap. If it wasn't a strap, it was a ruler. But it was something to let us know that we wasn't supposed to act like that. And it's like, since then, I didn't know they took that from the schools, but that's crazy. I thought the teachers actually got kind of lazy.
Yeah, corporal punishment got banned from the schools. And I can understand the reason why. But the thing that went along with it, that's what killed us. You know, the parents who said, I'm willing to go to child. I'm willing to go to jail for my child so that my child doesn't go to jail, they begin to die off. You know, a lot of parents today who are under so much pressure, and let us remember that a lot of parents that are much younger, parents are getting younger. You know, and I said parents because, we're coming out of the folks just having babies to have babies. The folks are having babies young, and they don't know they can to raise their children. But they don't have the wisdom or the experience as the one that came before us. But this thing has got to stop because it's these videos about these kids attacking parents that's going to bring about the type of change that nobody thinks they want, and that is a police state school, like the airport. The students are going to be so rigid and so tight, everything's going to be so monitored in the school that the kids won't have any freedom, and it's going to be like an education pipeline. And some folks have a problem with that. People have a problem with that at the airport. I don't. I'm amazed every time I fly how there are thousands upon thousands of people rushing to get to and from their gates to get on these planes. And some folks are sleepy, and some are hungry, and some are frustrated, and some are lonely, and some are angry, and they have all these different issues. But there never seems to be a problem because you just know that they're not going for that at the airport. You know? I'm not trying to advocate a socialist society when it's military ruled. However, I do believe that rules need to come back. And I'm gonna say it like this. And you 516-387-1299. The problem is that quote unquote parents are too doggone friendly with their children. Because it's easier to rather be boys or rather be pals than parents. Now stay with me, Brooke, because I'm saying a lot, I know.
No, I'm still with you.
But part of that, in addition to that, though, we got the game messed up because we still think this is white and black, and it's not. It's not white and black. There are other colors. Hold on, we're gonna call black a color. What it is? They're Latinos. They're Hispanics. They're Chaldeans. Chinese, you get them. There are other minorities in this country that have it just as bad. So in that, it cannot be a black and white thing. Now, these are some minorities. If they're minorities, then there must be a majority. Although, if I understand the census correctly, that the Latino population is the largest in the country now, they still don't have the power base that the Caucasians have, white people have. Fine. But this is not about race in as much as it is about class. It's about who got and who don't. And the people who got don't want to give it, and they tell the people who don't have it, you don't need it. That's why, listen, I'll say it again. Those who got the money, got the power, will tell those who don't have money and power, you don't need it. And we buy into that. How do I think we buy into that, Rook? And it's all systemic. How do I say we buy into that, Rook? Because we say we broke, and then we're still going to pay $100-something for a pair of gym shoes. But we broke. We broke. We're going to pay $100-something for a pair of gym shoes, and no. What are you saying, something? Rook, you there?
I'm here, Doc. I'm here, Doc.
Okay, I heard you. I thought you were saying something. There was some.
No, you gotta understand, you know, it's not a school day no more, Doc. It's vote day, so I got a house full of kids today, so sometimes I gotta throw it on mute.
Well, I understand. Yeah, it's vote day everywhere. Now, that's I was segueing to that because I posted on social media, you know, if Black Lives Matter and all lives matter, why doesn't voting matter? You know, we talk about change, we talk about want to up our game and all of that, but we still have not developed the understanding that our power is in our vote. The whole lot of folk who don't have to punch a clock today, they have no idea what's going on in their community. Don't know, they're going to pass measurements that's going to cut funding for schools. What's going to alter school days? What's going to eliminate programs? They're going to do things with public safety. They're going to vote on laws that you can't park in front of your house and all those other things. All this stuff. And the city of Detroit, as I understand it now, if you owe the city of Detroit any money and they find your car parked on a public street, they will tow your car so that you will pay the money you owe. You know, these things have to be voted on. Or when the legislature passes them, they can be overturned by the public with a vote. But we don't know none of that. School boards are being dismantled and done away with because of these votes, and we don't know. We don't take a vested interest in our community. We like to sit back on the porch and talk about how bad things are. Now here's my rant. As I said concerning the young lady that was brutally assaulted by that police officer, I dare not open my mouth, Rick, and say she got what she deserved. I wouldn't dare say that. I would advocate she had not put herself in a position. Things would have been different. But even in that, I don't blame her. I blame us. I said that last week. Because we're so angry without a solution. That bothers me. And we can't talk about it. We don't know how to talk about it. We don't know how to express ourselves. Our seniors are afraid to say anything because they don't want to be retaliated against by younger people, or they feel that their wisdom is no longer valid. The younger people have not submitted themselves to learn intelligently about what's going on. You know, everything is about what's now, what's current. And my thing is this. Nobody seems, as a society, who cares about the future? Who cares about legacy? Who cares about the life and the legacy and the planet we're going to leave for our children? It seems like that's not an issue because everybody seems, as a whole, I'm generalizing now, live just for today. And that's a problem. And so if we as adults have the mentality that we're going to just live for today, how do we expect our children not to adopt that same principle? There's no value in education because it doesn't affect them today. There's no problem of not wanting to go to practice during the summer before the school season starts for basketball or football. Why? Because they don't see how that's going to benefit them today. But that's what we do.
Don't let no one speak for me. bounty of lines.
Let's have a discussion. Let's talk about some real talk. Real talk radio. You are now tuned into the hottest talk show. Live with Dr. D, in case you didn't know. Your granny tell me, your friends tell me, no song. Don't turn your speakers up, grab your cell phone. The hottest thing, the hottest. We got the hottest topic. We got the hottest topic. The hottest topic. Real talk with Dr. Dabby. Real talk with radio city. Real talk with Dr. Dabby. Real talk with radio. Real talk.
These are why we're so pleased to have the covenant, and this is the best part of our action plan, is to reclaim the minds of our children. They went into the black homes now, the powers that be, and told us that you cannot discipline your children anymore, and if you discipline your children, you are going to jail. Is this kind of thing they told us? Then they went into the public schools and took discipline out of there. So when we acted up in there, they put our boys, our black men, into something called special ed classes. And as you know, those special ed classes are nothing but holding cells until they can go to the state prison. But this is what they did. And then, the one thing that they knew, that if we can put them in prison, if we can have them convicted for a felony, then once they get out of prison, they cannot get a job because of that. They cannot get the job. And then if they happen to eke out and find a job, then they have to pay taxes on a job, yet they cannot vote, and I call that call that taxation without representation. That's what we're looking at. And if one of the things that we would learn to do, they did a grand thing when they took that discipline away from us, because when they made our parents afraid to discipline the children, then what happened? We found out that the teachers were afraid of the principals were scared of the superintendents, superintendent was scared of the school board was scared of the parents, parents were scared of the children, and the children ain't scared of nobody.
Dr. Julia here. That clip was worth playing again. Moving on. Dear Rook, my friendships have always included people of different races, religions, nationalities, sexual orientations, professions, etc. A few years ago, I had an experience that was both devastating and humbling on several different levels. It caused me to do a lot of introspection and self-improvement, which led to my becoming a more empathetic person. Over the last few years, I have distanced myself from old friends and acquaintances who were racist, sexist, homophobic, etc. I've replaced them with new relationships with people who embrace diversity. Some of the people I no longer see ask me why we don't talk or go or get together anymore. I don't want to give them excuses like, quote-unquote, I've been too busy. How do I explain to them that I don't enjoy associating with people who hold bigoted views, signed open-minded in the Midwest?
All right, so what I'm getting from you is you're telling me that they have racist friends that they no longer talk to?
Right.
Okay.
But the friends are not asking why don't you talk to them anymore?
It's funny how you say
go and are asking why you don't talk to us no more.
It's funny how you say the friends are asking them how they don't talk to them anymore. So you must be still in these people's presence because they're asking you this. If you don't talk to somebody anymore, there's no avenue to talk. Period. If I'm gonna stop talking to you, you're not gonna have a way to talk to me. Period.
I mean, you might. I mean, what about social media? I mean, I can stop, you know, you can stop talking to a person, don't necessarily you go through and delete them off all your profiles. You may forget to do that. You may get a random inbox.
You can just pretty much just tell them, you know, you have different views. I've outgrown this relationship. Back in the day, you know, it was fun. Things we did was cool, but I don't like those things anymore. I'm not that kind of person, and I don't want to be looked at as that kind of person. I don't want your views to reflect me and my views. If you got negative views, you can have your negative views, but I don't want nobody to associate you with me and look at me as saying I have the same negative views you have. So I can't deal with you like that.
So you're saying that she should respond with the truth?
I mean, Doc, me personally, if it was that serious, like I said, it wouldn't have been no avenue to get in contact with me. I wouldn't have had you on Facebook. We wouldn't have been friends on Instagram. You'd been blocked off the texts and the phone calls, so it wouldn't have been no avenue to talk to me.
Okay. Ready? Dear Rook, I'm a middle-aged man who lost my wife to cancer about 2.5 years ago. We had no children. I'm now feeling very alone. I don't seem to fit in anywhere. My old quote-unquote friends avoid me, and our married couple quote-unquote friends leave me out because I'm not a couple anymore. I understand that because they all do couple things. But even my family seems to have set me aside. When my wife was alive, we would be invited to my siblings' homes for dinners during the holidays and other times. Not often don't even get a phone call. There are times I feel like I have been cast off by everyone. Please help. Find lonely.
These are funny to me. Okay. Well, see, that one's kind of different, Doc, because it's like, did your family like your wife or did your family like y'all? Because it seemed like they liked your wife more than they liked you because they're inviting y'all instead of you. I don't understand how that would work. Now, I understand the couple's doing a couple things, but you should still have a friend outside of the couple's part. You know, you can go back and talk to him. It's not like you're having a social problem. And it might be something he need to work on inside of himself, man. It might not be his friends or the people he's trying to be around. He might have things he needs to work
advice.
On.
That's what he wants advice from you on. What should he do?
I mean, you should open up, man. I mean, I don't know what he's not doing. Go to the gym. Go to church. Meet people. Meet new people. How about that? Meet new people. Because the people that you're dealing with now, I guess they lost interest in you. They might be still friends with you, but meet new people. Someone out here for everybody, Doc. Someone's going to find a like in you, whether it's the bad stuff you do or the good stuff you do. Someone's going to find an interest in you. You just got to find them.
Excuse me. All right. Okay.
Hey, Doc, you can't find nobody sitting in the house, Doc. And that's not really true because you can be on the internet and stuff nowadays, but they don't come just knock on your doors and want to be your friend.
Okay. Dear Rook, I have been friends with Janet for 8 years. We've been very close, talk often, and go to lunch 3 times a month. We are like 2 peas in a pod and have always been honest with each other. Our relationship is open and above board. On a recent holiday, I went to her house for a party, got drunk, and made inappropriate comment to one of her friends, who had also had too much to drink. Janet called me out in front of the others, demanded I apologize, told me that what I said was disrespectful, and said she doesn't want to see me again. Rook, she tossed me out. She talked about an 8-year friendship over one comment. I don't understand. Do you?
What was the comment?
He doesn't say what the comment is.
Well, that kind of pretty much depends on what the comment was, because you can lose a friend over a comment. You could have said something that was racist, and they really didn't take offense to it, you know? You could have said something against their religion, and, you know, it could be a lot of things you said, and certain things you say you can't lose friendships over. Certain things you can do, you can lose friendships over, so you kind of pretty much got to go back to think about what you said and was it appropriate? And then at the end of the day, you can't make nobody be your friend. If they don't want to be your friend no more, whether it's 8 years, 10 years, 15 years, let them go. Apparently, they don't want to be your friend no more. You can't make people be your friend. I learned that the hard way, but you can't.
We're going to Detroit. Last four digits of your number are 7294. 7294. You're not live on air at Dr. D. Rook City. Who's this?
This is Marjani. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I just want to say with that comment about a person who is lonely, maybe he needs to talk to the people that are in his family because maybe they feel like they're making him feel odd by being in the household and not being with his wife. Maybe it's not something he did wrong. Maybe they just don't know how to approach him. It doesn't always have to be that, you know, the relationship or it was all about his wife. I just didn't agree with the what said.
Okay. All right. So that's another one to look at. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Rook? I thought this was calling the ags, Rook. I didn't know this was calling. Okay.
Moving on. Thank you, Marjani. I appreciate you. Appreciate your support. Real talk. That's real. Appreciate your support.
Awesome.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. 6225. I think this angel's low. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, my friend. How you doing, Bishop?
Well. Brother Angelo.
Yes.
Did you want to ask?
Well, I just want to comment on the friendship situation. Now, I agree that, you know, down the line with the friendship from 8 years or 10 years, how long they've been friends, but I think what he needs to do is he need to you know, examine himself, find out what did he say in a comment that would once her to end their friendship. If it's out of order, then he need to go and apologize and address it. But on the other hand, I totally agree. You can't make nobody be your friend, you know. But sometimes when you do have a friend, you have to be careful, and you also have to be careful about somebody else feeling about a certain thing, that so you just can't say all things, even though it probably was no harm in the comment, but still, you want to keep that to yourself if you want to keep your friend.
Understood. Yeah, he said he was drunk. He doesn't say what he said, but apparently it was bad enough. Thank you, Brother Adam Moe. We got to be careful. Appreciate you, Doctor. Always. See you in a minute.
Thanks.
We're staying in the Motor City. Elder, good morning. How are you? Elder Michelle from Detroit.
Good morning, Dr. D. Good morning, Rook. How are you?
You're the first person that acknowledged me. I'm sitting here waiting. I wasn't going to say nothing, but you're the first one. Thank you, Elder Michelle.
You are more than welcome. I told you I'm never going to forget you since that day. I'm never. Never.
I mean, they can call and they can reply to my comments, but they cannot say, good morning, Rook City. How you doing today? It's always, hey, Bishop, how you doing, Doc? I'm here, too. You're responding to my comments. Speak to me, too, please. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead, Elder Michelle. Go ahead. Every week we go through this. Every week they do the same thing on a daily basis. When will
every
they get
week.
It?
You're right, Rook. You know what? And so that's why I do what I do, because I need you to feel good.
Yeah.
At work,
she's tired of
you
whining.
I need you to acknowledge you, because really, it's like a respect thing. Like when somebody walk in my door and they don't see me, and you come in my house, you can step out.
Yes. Elder, do not encourage him.
Yes.
Do not encourage him, Elder. Do not do that.
Amen. This is our house. They can't come in and speak to you because you're a big guy and I'm sitting on the couch. And like, well, he's over there. Hey, Dr. D.
Who paid the rent?
We do. Amen.
It takes all of us to be us. That's what I heard.
good. That's good.
All right.
Come on back. All right. Come on back.
I got nothing. I got nothing behind that. Thanks, Elder. Look, your time has been wasted. That was you get. That's what you get. That's what you get. And I'm pretty sure whatever you were going to say was like epic and really bad. But you wasted all your time messing around with Rook sitting on the couch pouting, playing this little bitty guitar, little bitty violin. Nobody loves me, you know. I got to touch it down to literally, you got 45 seconds.
Okay, all I was going to say, drunks tell the truth. That's what I was told all my life. If you listen to a drunk person, they're going to tell you the truth. They don't lie. So whatever he said, he meant it. That's what he felt. So I'm sorry. Amen.
Yeah. I told you. I knew it. All that bravado and the only thing people are going to take away from this whole 1 hour show is drunks tell the truth. Boom. Boom. Boom.
And it's the first thing they're going to say, oh, you do that for real, huh?
That's real. That's real talk for you. Thank you, Elder. God bless you.
Bless you, man of God. Bless you, Will. See you later.
Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister.
You can agree to end a blessing. See, man, you're doing all right.
That's my homie right there.
Well, Doc, it is that time. Time to say goodbye, my friends. I was going to do a little song, but I don't remember the lyrics. But, Rook, at the end of the show, thank you all for calling and listening, participating. We thank you. Tomorrow we're going to do it better. We got another hot show lined up tomorrow. It seemed like today we should have did Ask Rook earlier in the show because that's when folks kicked in. So, Rook, since it was Ask You, do what you do.
All right, as always, Doc, I enjoyed the show. You can catch me and Dr. D live tomorrow at 10, we're live with Dr. D. Until then, everybody be safe and be blessed. I'm out, y'all.
And before you all go, if you listen tomorrow at 10 o'clock, you'll notice I always say good morning to Rook, and Rook never says good morning to me, ever. Ever.
Really? Really?
Ever.
Really?
Go back and listen to all the old shows. Never says, good morning, Dr. D. Like some coffee, you know. How's the drive in? None of that, ever.
Really?
you. Later.